The FCS College Football Experience, Big Sky 2024 schedule release and breakdown episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times the amount of money you enter in, well, MLB, NBA, MMA, NHL, ULF, college football, golf, and much, much more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code TCESGPN. You get 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by NFL Draft Bingo. Yes, play the NFL Draft Bingo for a free chance to score a $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app, which is free to download in the App Store and Google Play Store. So get on over there. And remember, as always, folks, to let it ride.
Hey, everybody, Jim McMahon here, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Yes, yes, yes. Woo-hoo. Welcome. Welcome to the FCS College Football Experience. Big Sky Conference schedule release breakdown episode. Love the Big Sky Conference. I've been a fan for a long time, and I'm excited to talk all about it. YouTube.com/the college experience. Get on over there. Hit that like, hit that subscribe button. Shout out to Timothy Green. He goes, let's get ready to rock. And I see Skrills in the chat saying Sac State in the building, representing the Hornets there, as we'll talk about them in a bit here. But yeah, if you're wondering who the hell you're listening to, my name is Colby Swiggin, Database Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
I smoke and I drink and I don't have stress and I'm healthy.
I am healthy. Anytime you're talking, I watched the Cal Golden Bears spring game earlier today. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. I'm just one. I got, you know, college baseball right now. Subscribe to the College Baseball Experience. But I always am in football mood, you know, football mode, I should say. And I'm excited to, I'm always forecasting. Yeah. You know, you don't want to go inside my mind. It's just, I'm always thinking football, thinking why doesn't every team have three quarterbacks on every play at the same time? That's what I was thinking about earlier today. And you just throw the ball around the entire fucking time. You never know who's going to throw it. God damn it. I'm a genius. YouTube.com/the college experience. I am joined by my co-host, you know, they call him the Gulf Coast Guru. He's down there in Florida, riding those power boats, riding those fan boats. I don't know what the fuck they're called. Fan boats, right? They're called fan boats. He's down there. He's feeding fucking iguanas. I don't know what the fuck he's doing, but he's always out there. He's like Steve Irwin of Florida. Give it up for the Gulf Coast Guru, aka Mike Rose. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, man. I always think more Bobby Boucher than Steve Irwin when you're describing my life, but that's okay, man. I'll ride the John Deere tractor in on to work.
Watch out for the stingrays, man. Watch out for those fucking stingrays.
They'll get you every time, man.
They will get you every time.
Fuck with an alligator every episode, yeah, for like 13 years, but a stingray takes them down.
That's what I'm saying. Tragic. Whole time we were all fucked up. We thought the alligators were vicious. It was the stingrays. I mean, dude, sometimes I'll go to the beach out here and you gotta watch it, man. You step on some stingrays, man.
Oh, you gotta do the shuffle.
That's what I'm saying. I've never been stung, but God damn it, I've stepped on some weird fucking shit. And then I realize it's a stingray. Yeah, look, we're going to sting you, with this Big Sky Blitz that we got. See, look at that work that I'm doing there. But I want to talk a little news first. We got North Dakota State, Colorado, opening week one game that I think we were very excited about. Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, squared off against the juggernaut known as North Dakota State. That game has been moved to Thursday night, and God damn it, I got to admit, I love it. I complain all the time about specifically the FCS, but really the FBS and the FCS. To me, like every group of five conference in the FBS, a lot of the power conferences like should be playing games throughout the week. And if we're going to have this sport that's ran by TV execs, well, God damn it, give us football 7 days a week. All right. Now, this game, I think, you know, before you're looking at like the best Thursday night games, there was like the Youngstown Villanova matchup. And you know, that then you were like, okay, we got North Carolina, Minnesota. Cause I love FBS. I do the FBS show too. Go check that out. But Minnesota, North Carolina, I was like, it's all right. You know what I mean? But now I got a little now there's a little meat on the bone, in my opinion. What do you think of this being shifted to opening Thursday night there?
Man, I absolutely love it. I mean, I think this is primetime TV. I'm going to be dialed into this game for sure. The more I think about this game, man, I was kind of, I think we talked about it last week. We did the Missouri Valley and I was kind of thinking like, oh, this is a prime upset spot, but I keep seeing all this hate coming Dion's way. I think they're going to be ready on that Thursday night. I think the move to Thursday night, Ralphie and the boys are going to be even more pumped up, ready to go. So I'm pumped up for this one. I can't wait.
Yeah. Tim, and another thing is you have Tim Palasek, his first game as a head coach of North Dakota State coming over from the Wyoming Cowboys. I'm with you. I see everyone taking North Dakota State. Now North Dakota State brought back some key players, but I've paid attention to what Colorado, I think Colorado's gotten better as a team in the portal. So, and then another year, Travis Hunter. I know they lost Cormani McClain, but he barely got on the field. But either way, I like that game on that, that opening Thursday. And now there's, like I said, it's the game I want to watch most.
Same.
The portal is going fucking crazy too. We're going to probably do an episode later on this, but I felt like I should at least address that everyone ever is in the transfer portal. FCS, FBS, D2. I got no idea. Just everyone.
open borders in Texas, yeah. Open borders in the portal, man. Let everybody go. Just go
exactly.
Wherever you want.
I'm just I don't even know where to begin with that, but I'll say that, I see a lot of people bitching. I was just seeing this tweet by, let me see if I can quickly, a lot of people are bitching about this and, I get it. The portal's fucking insane. It's been insane. I would prefer it to not be this insane, but, I was seeing a guy who covers college football was like, I legitimately don't understand why anyone would be a college football coach anymore with the transfer portal. You get to be a millionaire. and even on the FCS front, you might not be a millionaire at every school, but you get to make a lot more money than being a goddamn, post office worker or something. You know what I mean? Like, stop bitching. I understand it sucks. Transfer portal, you got to do a little more work. But let's be honest. How many coaches were getting by before on that shit? You know what I mean? How many coaches exactly. were like, I mean, shit, Jimbo Fisher got paid $73 million not to coach. You know what I mean? There's a lot of coaches that have made a bunch of money and probably never deserved all of that money. I actually would say no one deserves that much money. People were saying, I read something about Andy Reid getting, he's underpaid $13 million. I'm like, yeah, I get it. He's an amazing coach. In my opinion, I'm like, for a guy that just coaches football, I don't know that anybody should be making $13 million. If we really want to have the conversation, I don't know that anybody should be making that much a fucking year. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. All right. But what'd you make of breaking down the Big Sky? We ranked all 12 teams, conference, or not even conference, just overall schedules. Like I think we kind of texted a little bit on this. I thought this was much harder than the Missouri Valley. Go listen to that episode. We did a Missouri Valley episode on the FCS College Football Experience, but I thought this one was a little bit harder. But at the same time, I still think there were some obvious ones where it was like, holy shit, there's a lot of tough games on the schedules. But overall, what'd you think?
Yeah, I had about, I would say four or five that I thought was, I thought they were standout as far as difficulty. And then once you get past that top crust, then after that, it got pretty tight and it was hard for me to rank them. It was definitely, I thought, harder than the Missouri Valley. There's not a whole lot of separation in the middle to the bottom of this conference as far as strength of schedule.
Yeah. And I think one of the big things I'll state just from the start before we go in on this, there's six teams that play seven away games. And they are Northern Arizona, Northern Colorado, Idaho, Portland State, Weber State, Sac State. There are five teams that play six away games. Remember, though, I find it crazy when you play seven away games because you only play an 11-game schedule in the FCS. Like, what? What are you doing?
Getting that West Coast stick again, man.
Play a 12th game. I don't understand this. Why can't they play a 12th game?
East Coast bias is a real thing, man. I'm noticing that more and more and more every year. So
yeah, it really is. It really is, man. And it took me moving out here to realize. I was like, yeah, well, yeah, I think they might have a point out here. So there's five teams that play six, and then there's one team that only plays five. Now, believe it or not, I do not have that team in dead last, but we'll talk about or easiest. I don't have that as the easiest schedule. But yeah, either way, let's get into it. But before we get into it, folks, I want to tell you that the FCS College Football Experience, is, you know, we're part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, SGPN. Check us out. And we got the NFL draft going on this week, and the Sports Gambling Podcast has you covered with NFL draft props all week, mock drafts all week, and their NFL draft watch party, which I'll be a part of, breaking down film like I do each and every year. If I got my computer's about to fucking blow up right now, I'll be honest. I'm serious. Like you could run my computer into a fucking, I should give it to the IRA. You know what I mean? They can just run this thing in and right. Is the IRA still a thing? I don't think so, but still it either way, you get my point. It would be great because my computer's, I've been downloading so many goddamn clips, of players. You know, when you go two, three rounds deep, my computer stays hot. All right. It stays hot. Anyway, the NFL draft, if you haven't watched this over on Sports Gambling Podcast, we do a great job. We've done this for years over there. Great. We've had guests, come on, and we're going to have more guests, you know, this year, but you know, we basically do it like ESPN does, but without the bullshit. So, hop on over there and, yeah. Hang out with the guys for the best NFL draft watch party there is out there. Plus, make sure you download the SGPN app for the free show at in your chance of winning $100 SGPN gift card with NFL draft bingo. So get on over there, check that out. All right, here we go. Shout out to Kevin. You guys are the best. No one else covers the Big Sky. Hell, I bet the average SEC fan doesn't know what Big Sky is. Thanks. Well. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Thank you, Kevin. I would say that, you know, average SEC fan, what is the Big Sky to them? You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of what would they, when you say Big Sky, what would they assume? It's like a casino, maybe like a Native American casino. Are you talking about, you know, I saw that in an episode what's that? God damn it. I can't even be funny right now. What's the episode with Marty Bird? The show on Netflix. I'm fucking this all up. You know what I'm talking about? Ozark. Ozark. God, yeah, damn it. I can't talk. But yeah, that's what my assumption would be. Maybe they think something like that. But
let me ask you something, I guess, on the Big Sky too, before we get rolling. You think with the Pac-12, you know, basically being non-existent now, do you think the Big Sky gets some more eyes out of that? I mean, is this time for the Big Sky to kind of strike and market and say, hey, West Coast, we got you covered, you know?
I mean, they should, but to me, like, a lot of college football is so behind the fucking times. I was listening to like a podcast with the Big Sky commissioner a couple years back, and it's like, he's not even talking about getting like, I mean, he was doing all right, but he was like not saying aggressively that he should go like try to find, you know, get more games on TV essentially. Which I'm just like, what? But that's all college sports. It's all like college sports. The administration are fucking dinosaurs. That's why there is no Pac-12. I mean, yes, there was a lot of dumb school presidents in the Pac-12, but there was also just these people that just were completely out of touch with the sport, in my opinion, and the way the sport's been going. And but yeah, I mean, that's something we talked about in the office. Now, we were saying it more so towards the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. As you saw, they had a great basketball conference in the regular season the past couple of years. I know they've had their tournament struggles, but I think some of that is based on they have been given terrible matchups and they haven't been respected by the committee, which back to that bias that you're talking about. But I live in California. It makes no sense to me why Cal State Northridge got rid of their program. Long Beach State got rid of their program. Fullerton bought it. You want the best thing to talk about? Fullerton got a brand new stadium and then stopped football the next year. Fucking Gavin Newsom, your athletic director. What the fuck's going on over there? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I would think if I was, you know, the Big Sky commissioner, I know you have, whenever you could get out of your TV contract, I would try to market the fuck out of this. Mm-hmm. But I still don't understand why they don't play more Thursday and Friday. Cause I feel like if college football is a drug, all these people love college football. If they, you know, when I talk to people, I cover the FBS and the FCS shit. I watch NAIA, but, when I go out and talk to people on the road, you know, I was a guest at LSU. I was a guest at A&M, you know, a lot of other places, you know, even like I was at, you know, some media days and stuff, but when you meet some fans and stuff, they, on a Saturday, they don't know about Portland State. They don't even know they're playing right now, or Montana, even Montana. They'll realize Montana's a great program during the FCS playoffs, but they probably don't even know about the Brawl of the Wild. Right. And if you put that on Friday night or Thursday night, and you don't have to do it every week, because I understand Montana fans say, why should we have to pay we like our Saturdays with Montana football. I understand that too, but there's got to be a better balance of getting your fucking product out there. Now, what your original question, I think is interesting, because now USC and UCLA and Oregon and Washington will be playing so many games in the Eastern or Central time zone that you would think there'd be more opportunity for TV contracts to come in and let's put even on Saturdays. Like I noticed this last year, more so than ever, the late night games, there wasn't much because these gigantic conferences. I mean, the Pac-12 network has always been a disaster. You need to live in fucking Auckland, New Zealand to catch fucking games. You know what I mean? Like, my point is that you would think like Sac State, Cal Poly, all these, like their whole conference really is in the Pacific time zone. I think, it should, but will they be smart enough to capitalize off that?
I think that's the move, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've been chasing bets, you know, to try to catch up on a day, watching the, Hawaii game at night, trying to make up some ground that I lost on the Saturday, maybe, or, a UCLA game late at night. So, you know, market this thing, get it out there, let people gamble a little bit on the games, you know, get eyes on the sport, and that's where you really take off. So I think, you know, like you said, the Big Sky has a huge, huge opportunity here to pick up some of the slack on the West Coast and just market this thing, man.
To me, that Big Sky, the WAC, Mountain West should all, like, they should be fucking super happy in a way that the Pac-12 doesn't exist in a way, because they say, hey, this is our opportunity right now. Let's go out and, you know, let's go all in and figure this out. But we'll see. Great question, though, because I mean, like I said, I'm always dumbfounded on the scheduling format of, you know, I'm lucky enough. I have a studio with fucking 11 TVs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have FCS on with FBS on every Saturday, but the average person doesn't. And especially the ones that want more football, you know, on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, why the hell are you not putting Southern Utah on? You know what I mean? or whoever, you know what I mean? This guy, I think the same can be said for Holy Cross or something, but, it just makes, if you're going to have, cause let's be honest, some of them say like, no one cares about how filled your stands are anymore. I mean, maybe the FCS cares a little more than the FBS because the TV contracts, that is insane. But still, you would think that the TV money would just outweigh whatever. And I still say, like, more people work from home now. It's a different world than it was in 1970 or 1950 when all these games were scheduled the same way. So, I still think, like, if you're a fan of Montana, are you going to get up on a Thursday night and go? Yeah, I would think so. You know, if you're a fan of Northern Arizona on a Thursday night, I mean, a lot of businesses you get off on Friday, and then students, come on, stop it. I was at East Carolina. We'd fucking party 7 days a week. All right. So, anyway, let's jump into this thing. But, that's something to pay attention to moving forward. But to get in the national championship on a Monday to me is rewarding to me as opposed to, the FCS national championship was going up against the NFL. Even though I have no problem making that decision, FCS all day over NFL, but, you know, I don't know if it's the greatest business model. So, there's this year we get it on a Monday. All right, let's jump into this. Folks, youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Hit that like, hit that subscribe. Also, please, if you can, hop on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. I know Kevin in the chat or Skrills or whoever's over there, you know, appreciate all you guys tuning in. But if you can hop over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review for the FCS College Football Experience, I'd appreciate it. Yeah, that helps us. Sponsors look at that and then they say, hey, turns out that we know this Dundee guy's an idiot, but turns out some people actually like listening to him. Yeah, let's jump into it. Here we go. I made some graphics. We got graphics here. I've been working on this shit for a couple of days. So, with no further ado, let's jump into this. First school. Last time I checked my alphabet was Cal Poly, the Mustangs, who I'm still pissed at from getting rid of the triple option. They were a dominant. I was going through FCS wins over the FBS since 2000, and Cal Poly was scattered all through that when they were running the triple option, and they decided to abandon that. But they just got I think John Madden, who's a Cal Poly graduate, just gave them $30 million as when he passed, his family
posthumously.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's get that going. Shout out. Rest in peace to the great John Madden. Now Paul Wolf was the, former Washington State head coach. And I think he was at Eastern Washington prior to that. He came in last year, year one. He's, you know, they're still heavy on the air raid, I believe. And, you know, they brought in a 5-star recruit, transfer from Washington, Sam Huard, who did play pretty damn well as a freshman there, a redshirt freshman, 18 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 7.3 yards of completion. And I mean, you got a top-notch quarterback that was recruited by a lot of people, you know, a lot of schools. So, I think if you're a Cal Poly fan, even though you should be wanting the triple option, but you know, maybe you don't. And, you still got to be a little bit excited about this quarterback and some of the talent and the direction of the program, perhaps. But, the schedule, the non-con is at San Diego, the Toreros, out of the Pioneer League, week one. Week two, they head to the farm to take on Stanford. Do I need to remind you that, we had the chat? I'm sure, Skrills, who's a South Carolina State, Sacramento State fan, remembers them going to the farm out of the Big Sky and beating the piss out of Stanford a year ago. Well, maybe Cal Poly can do it this year. So they open up with two away games, then they're home to D2 Western Oregon. Then they get a bye week, and then they're heading to Greeley, Colorado to take Ed Lamb's Northern Colorado. What are they? The Bears. Yeah, the Bears. I almost said the Buffaloes. Home to Idaho State, then at UC Davis, followed by at Idaho. Then they get a bye week, and then home to Montana, home to Northern Arizona, home to Sac State, and then at Weber. I had it as the second easiest schedule in the conference. And I think if you're a Mustangs fan, I'm not thinking you're an FCS playoff team or anything, but got to be kind of excited about the schedule. Why couldn't you win? You know, when you look at it, I think they should beat San Diego. They'll lose to Stanford, but I would favor them against Western Oregon. They get a bye week. They're at Northern Colorado. Northern Colorado is winless. Now, I think Lamb's going to have that squad much more improved. I think he's a good football coach, but that's a winnable game. Then you're home to Idaho State and my guy Cody Hawkins. Shout out to Cody Hawkins. I mean, I think Idaho State's ahead of them, but at the same time, wouldn't shock me if you won that game. Then you head to UC Davis. UC Davis, Dan Hawkins, retired. Tim Plow, former quarterback for UC Davis, going to be the head coach there. So you're getting a brand new head coach. Then I get it. You have a back-to-back away, and that's never fun going to the Kibbe Dome and taking on Jason X squad. But Idaho's schedule and just Idaho's whole team left. So, you know, back in November when I look, you know, if I'd seen this, I would say, yeah, that's definitely a loss. Still a loss, I think, but I mean, they're not as good as they would have that I thought they were going to be. Then they get a bye week. They're home to Montana. That should be a loss. Home to Northern Arizona. They're breaking in a brand new head coach. Home to Sac State, which that's we'll touch base on what we think Sac State, you know, after Troy Taylor departed, Andy Thompson squad, they looked all right, but at the same time, you got to wonder, is that sustainable? And then at Weber, which no way they're going to win that game with that weather. Week 13, a little California guys going out there to Ogden, Utah, not gonna fly. What'd you think of the schedule? Where'd you have it ranked?
Yeah, so I'm actually pretty close to you on this one. I had them as number 10. Honestly, not impressed. I mean, you know, you could look at their non-con and say 3 out of 4 of those on the road. That's not great. But like you said, San Diego, that's a winnable game. Western Oregon should be a dub. And Northern Colorado, I think they're a beat above them, even though, you know, they seem to kind of be getting their stuff together towards the end of the season. But then you went through it. I mean, UC Davis, new coach, Idaho, a lot of new faces, Northern Arizona, new coach. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here. You know, you got some for sure losses. You got Weber, you got Montana, Sac State, even possibly a for sure loss. But I think there's a lot of potential for this program with what they're trying to do, trying to build up a little bit. You were talking about the money they're getting in. I think it's a navigatable non-conference schedule. And I think their conference schedule is also pretty fair. I mean, we both have this towards the bottom of the list. I think Cal Poly fans could be a little bit excited about what they're looking at.
Yeah, I think so too. I might even get up there for a game. I was talking to my guy, Michael Barker. Shout out to College Football Campus Tour. Follow him on Twitter.
UCLA wants to kick you out, man. You go to Cal Poly.
That's good. You're goddamn right. I love San Luis Obispo. All right. Let's go. Get on up there. Central California is beautiful, man.
There'll be more fans there anyway.
And UC Santa Barbara, get your program back going, you bastards. All right. What's going on? Come on, Gauchos.
I love that. I love that school.
Yeah. I mean, dude, Santa Barbara's amazing, but it's like, what's going on? Get play football. They're trying to ban youth football here in California. Fuck's Jeez. Going on? I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, man, every single person that I played youth football with, that I played at the ankle biter level, we called it ankle biters back then. They're all like functioning and fine. I mean, shit. Some of them are like super successful. You know what I mean? Like doctors and stuff. I don't understand where the hell this is coming from. It's all overreaction. It's all bullshit. Overreaction. Go play football. All right. Life is about risk. You get injured. That happens. All right. Guess what? You get injured if you don't do anything. All right. Cause you get injured inside because you didn't live fucking life. All right. God damn it. I need to speak at UC Santa Barbara's graduation. All right. Man, a few cocktails. I'll talk to those bastards.
I got a neck crook for 3 days.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Don't worry about it. All right. So I'm saying, you gotta get so many people so afraid to live fucking life. Go play football. No one got fucking injured. Everyone I know from, you know, to me, like the level you get injured at is like much higher up. I don't think collisions were a problem when you're on the ankle biter level. If anything, like I find it completely, you know, ridiculous because I mean, shit, you remember like the Nerf hoops you'd have it in your, you put on your door, yeah. You put on your basketball, the basketball,
dunking on that thing, hitting the door, dude, 30 miles an hour. Yeah. Let's go.
Me and my brothers and my neighborhood friends were playing 5-on-5, which is just insane. Right. And we fouled someone through the fucking wall. Now my dad was irate, but I'm saying we fouled, shout out to Nick, if he's listening to this, but he went through the wall, right?
Did he get the bucket?
I don't recall. I don't think so. Cause we had a policy like no easy baskets, but he went, my point is is kids are going to do dumb shit all the time. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That was more like, I mean, you go went through a wall. Come on. So stupid. You know, sign him up for karate. You know, what the fuck? Anyway, Cal Poly. Yeah. I think you gotta be optimistic. I think if you're a Mustang fan and I think it's an exciting time considering how bad they've been lately, if that makes sense. And you have like an NFL talented quarterback based on high school rankings. All right, let's move forward. But next up, we got Eastern Washington. Now, Eastern Washington is one that they've been on my shit list a little bit because they've always been good to me. Aaron Best is what I think he's in like year 8, and they've had 2 straight losing seasons. But they stopped like throwing money into their athletic department. I was reading about this with their basketball program, but their football program was like really, really, really good for a while there. The Inferno, the Inferno turf, whatever the hell they call that. It's disappointing, but I hope they could return to where they should be. Cause I really like their program and I think they should put sports first always. That's real education in my opinion. You got to learn how to lose in life, damn it. The non-con, home to Monmouth, home to Drake at Southeast Louisiana there in Hammond, Louisiana, and then take it on Jeff Choate's, Nevada Wolfpack there in Reno. Now, you know, Choate's in year 1. So that's a nice draw. The conference schedule begins week 5. They're home to Montana. Then they get a bye week and then they head to the Nest to take on Sac State. Then, they are home to UC Davis. Then they head to Moscow, to the Kibbe Dome, take on Idaho, then home to Montana State, then at Northern Colorado, and then home to the Bengals of Idaho State. Then they head to Flagstaff to take on Northern Arizona. So first thing here, no real back-to-back away. I mean, yes, you have one, but it's in the non-con. Who cares? I mean, yeah. I mean, you want to win those games, but I'm saying, like to see a conference schedule where you don't have back-to-back away games. And what's crazy is like, they kind of could go, it wouldn't be that far fetched to go undefeated in the non-con. I imagine there'll be dogs in Reno. I think Nevada will actually beat them because I think Choate's a good coach, but I mean, Monmouth keeps a decent program. Sela struggled last year. You know, we were higher on them than we should have been. and then Drake's not any good. Not since the days of Felix Wright. Well, what do you make of the schedule, man?
Yeah, actually, I have it at the same exact spot you do. So I had them at 8. I think the non-con is manageable. Monmouth, Drake, like you said, both at home. I think they win those games. On the road against Sela, we kind of talked about it a little bit last week. That could be sneaky. They should be a better program than they were last year. And then Nevada, we've already seen they're susceptible against these good FCS teams. And Eastern Washington, I mean, they're a program that, you know, they have some history of coming up and smacking a team in the mouth when they're not ready for it. So honestly, I didn't look. I'm curious to see what Nevada has around this game in particular, if this is maybe a trappy spot, but maybe it's me still having a lot of faith in this Eastern Washington program, thinking they might come back at any given moment. But I think they could go, you know, feasibly 3-1 in this non-con schedule. I like it.
I do too. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't even be that surprised if it was like 4-0, just because I think we saw, you know, Nevada's going to bring in a bunch more players in the portal, so it's hard to get a gauge on their team right now, but. You know, it should be winnable. By the way, if you're wondering, Nevada plays at Minnesota the week prior. So you go in to play a Big Ten school, you come back home to Mackey Stadium there, and you know, you might get beat down.
That's,
who knows?
That's an interesting spot. You know, another thing that I keyed in on for this team in particular is they're one of those teams that, I mean, when you're talking about a Cal Poly, if they play Montana or Montana State, if they play them at home, you know, I'm going to chalk that game up. That's a loss. I'm looking at this game. You got Montana and Montana State both at home for Eastern Washington. Like you said, on the Inferno turf, Do I think they're going to win? No, probably not. They're not going to be favored. But at the same time, I will not be shocked if they beat a Montana at home with the way this team has a history of beating good teams at home. So this is a team I give a little bit of extra credit for home games like that, because I think they can pull upsets on that turf.
Fair, fair. And by the way, I think it's McKay Stadium there in Reno. I fucked that up. But they don't play Weber, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they also don't play Cal Poly, and I think you want Cal Poly, maybe. I don't know. But I had it eighth, and look, if you look back at last year's team, they almost beat Fresno State. Mm-hmm. They lost in double overtime to Fresno State. They lost to Idaho in a one-score game. They lost to Cody Hawkins and Idaho State by one. You know, they were Northern Arizona by seven. They were in some games. Now, they just got to be watching them, God, their defense to me was the thing. It's like, it's, they're like a Cliff Kingsbury coach team to me. You know what I mean? Of like when he was at Texas Tech and it's like, oh, they might win, but it's 57-54. You know what I mean? Something like that. But maybe this is a year. Maybe they got better defensively there. They beat CeeLo, by the way, by 11 in Cheney last year. So maybe they complete the sweep. Yeah. So in conference, by the way, when it starts week five, home to Montana, then bye week, then at Sac State, then home to UC Davis, then at at Idaho, then home to Montana State, then at Northern Colorado, home to Idaho State, then at Northern Arizona. I guess if I'm going to try to pick holes in this schedule, I think you tend to like to get Northern Arizona earlier because getting them week 13, you know, they're breaking in new head coach Brian Wright coming over from Pittsburgh State. That's kind of gonna kind of be his best version of his team. Should be week 13 will probably be the best version of his year one team. I also think, you know, getting Northern Colorado that late, you're probably gonna get the best, one of the better versions of Coach Lamb's team there in Greeley. So I guess I'd rather have those towards the top, but It's still not that bad of a schedule to me. So if you're an UW fan, I think you get a chance. You get a chance to really get back on the winning side of things this season.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, let's continue on to these Vandals. Good God. I mean, it's bad enough you got obliterated in the transfer portal. Jason X Squad, the former Wisconsin Badger offensive lineman under Barry Alvarez. Let's talk about this non-con. Let's talk about this non-con. At Oregon, week one, followed by a trip to War Memorial, Laramie, Wyoming. Good luck. I mean, I love that game on the schedule, though, because Wyoming, they're not the type of team to just whoop your ass. They'll win like 21-17. But you know what I mean? Like, I was there, I went to the App State Wyoming game last year, and it was awesome. But you know, that's an interesting game. Now I tend to think Wyoming could beat their ass, because if Idaho had brought back some of the players that, you know, departed, then I would be more of the opinion that I'm like, oh, maybe they can get this done. But they just got killed in the portal. What, their starting quarterback, their top wide out, the top running back, all left. Home to Albany. We saw this game. Shout out to Reese Poffenberger, who's now at the U, but he won in Moscow in the FCS playoffs. So now you're at home. You get a chance for revenge. But we kind of liked what Albany did in the portal. Maybe that game is more of a 50-50 game. And then you head to Abilene, Texas, take on Abilene Christian. And I thought they did a great job in the portal too. I mean, am I crazy? I don't think they're going to go 0-4, but I'm saying if you struggle, you could go 0-4 in the non-con. Your thoughts on the non-con?
Yeah, that non-con is brutal. Again, you got 3 out of 4 of them on the road. That hurts right off the bat. Your first two, I'm chalking up as L's. You know, Oregon, obviously, and then Wyoming, like you said, I mean, they're kind of the Iowa of the G5, but I mean, you know, they're going to shut down Idaho, especially this early in the season with all the new faces that you're going to have on that offense. It's going to be tough to come by points there in Laramie. And then Albany, that game, that's the one that you got to circle for Idaho right here, because both of these are going to be trotting out a lot of new faces, both two playoff teams that we were pretty excited about last year. And then as soon as they lost in the FCS playoffs, everybody bounced from both Albany and Idaho. So you
and
a
Albany
lot of
got
new faces.
Miles Burkett, the Wisconsin quarterback. So, I mean, as they lost Poffenberger, but they bring in a
if you're going to be excited about a quarterback transfer, he's going to come from Wisconsin, you know?
Well, no, they're running the air raid. Look, I understand. Yes, sir. And somehow Jim Sorgi made the NFL. But I think you're happy if you're 2-2 in the non-con.
I think that's a tall order, honestly, with as bought into football as Abilene Christian is, and that game being on the road, I favor Abilene Christian at this point by maybe a touchdown. So that's a tough one. So yeah. I think 1-3.
Yeah. I mean, look, you could be 0-4. Like I said, fuck around a little bit. Mm-hmm. You might be 0-4 because Albany, one of the things, I mean, I don't think people have pay close attention to, but you saw it with Jared Verse going to Florida State. I know Albany had another star defensive lineman that just actually passed away. Our condolences and love to him and his family and his teammates. But Albany does a great job to me coaching those guys up on the line of scrimmage. So you saw them win at the Kibbe Dome last year. It wouldn't shock me if they did it again this year, you know. Conference play starts, and by the way, they have two sets of back-to-back away. So at Oregon, at Wyoming, and then they get the Albany game, and then at Abilene, followed by at UC Davis. Now, they will get Tim Plow early, but once again, Tim Plow's kind of familiar with he was formerly the offensive coordinator a few years back of the Aggies under Dan Hawkins. Like I said, he played there. I think he's got a little bit of a leg up to other new coaches. Then they get a bye week. I'm sorry, they do not get a bye week. Well, it depends if what you think of Northern Arizona. Northern Arizona would be week 6. Then week 7, they head to Bozeman. Week 8, home to Cal Poly. Week 9, home to Eastern Washington. Then they get a bye week. Then they're heading to Hillsboro, Oregon to take on Portland State. Then home to Weber State and then at Idaho State there in Pocatello. Now, the only bonus is there's no Montana. There's no Montana, so you should say, hey, I still had this rated as the hardest schedule just because, to me, you factor in that all 4 non-con games are very losable. You got to go to Bozeman, and you got the rivalry game at the end of the year in Pocatello. You know, I mean, I guess conference schedule is not as bad, but when you mix it all together, I thought it was the hardest schedule. Where'd you have this ranked?
Yeah, I actually had this one at number 2. So I had one team above it, but I'm pretty much right there with you, man. This is a brutal schedule. There's another team that had both the Montanas on their schedule that I also thought their schedule was pretty brutal. We'll talk about them later. But yeah, this is for a team breaking in as many new faces as Idaho is breaking in. Eck has a tall order ahead of them. This is a rough schedule for them this year.
For sure. For sure. But he's done a great job, you know, kind of resurrecting this program. He's 16-9 in 2 seasons, both FCS playoff appearances both years. So maybe
let me ask you, I think interesting question, because you got two very I respect the hell out of both of these coaches. Who do you think will have their team ahead of schedule? Do you think it'll be Coach Gattuso for Albany, or do you think it'll be Eck for Idaho? I mean, that's got to be the story right there, right?
I kind of think if I had to place a wager, it'd be Albany, but
same.
I feel like both are good coaches, and you know, but Idaho just lost so many pieces. I know Albany did too. Albany lost, you know, a lot of their D line, which was a fucking underrated D line last year. Like that was a good D line, but they lost Verse 2-3 years ago. They just have a knack for finding talent out there. Even though they got destroyed in Brookings. I mean, that fascinating non-con. And anyway, let's continue on this. But before I move to the next team, I want to tell the folks out there that the FCS College Football Experience is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Yes, the NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting for you. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on, you know, player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. And here's what I love about Underdog Fantasy is, like, not only will, I mean, you could just do your whole roster of all, you know, it's the NBA playoffs right now. College basketball is done. You could just do all basketball if you wanted to. But what's also great is you can mix and match across your favorite sports. You can, you know, jump over and add in a UFL that, you know, the, not the USFL, the UFL, the new, the old USFL is now the UFL. You could throw a quarterback, dig, take Luis Perez or something. And then you could also take, I don't know, the, you know, shortstop for, you know, the Cleveland Indians, whatever they're calling themselves these days. You know what I mean? You could bounce all across, you bounce all across sports. You know what I mean? Which is cool. Cause I feel like with that, you don't really get opportunities to do this. You can win up to 100 times your money and it's a ton of fun. Underdogs available in 30 different states, including California, Texas, and yes, Canada. Get on over there. It's not a state, but that's it's a country, but you know what I mean. Canada's got options. I've had many people contact me and they say, hey, I can't bet in this part of Canada. And I go, well, you got to check out Underdog Fantasy because you can. So hop on over there. All right. Make sure you sign up with the promo code TCESGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code TCESGPN. All right. We are back on the FCS College Football Experience. And next we jump to the Idaho State Bengals. You know, it's crazy going through this. You know, I tend to think, I thought Cody Hawkins did a great job considering the disaster. Remember the previous coach was there for a year, but the fucking defensive backs coach called a murder charge. Like that was just their whole team left. I feel like half of them went to Arizona State, half of them went to other FCS programs. All right. When I say their whole team, a lot of the good players. So considering what he walked into, A, they almost beat San Diego State there at the snapper in San Diego to open the season. Kept it within one score. And then I know after that they gave up a cool 78 to Utah State at Maverick Stadium. Okay, things got a little shitty between that and the Northern Iowa game. But then they beat Northern Colorado. They had a new first year head coach too. So I mean, hey, win there. They kept it within eight with the Montana Grizzlies, who, oh, they played for the FCS National Championship. They beat Eastern Washington. They beat Portland State. And then they got destroyed by Sac State. They did get destroyed in the rivalry game against Idaho, but they kept it close against Dad at UC Davis, or against UC Davis by seven. My point is, for a three, I know they went 3-8. I was impressed with Idaho State. So, hey, maybe, and now you look at the schedule, I have this ranked as the 10th. Hardest schedule, so the basically the third easiest in the Big Sky. The non-con at Oregon State. Circle that one because look, you almost beat San Diego State a year ago. Oregon State is a complete. I love Oregon State. I think it's absolutely horrible what's happening to Washington State and Oregon State. But if you're an Idaho State fan, you're saying, "Hey, this is an opportunity for us to beat Oregon State because guess what? Their whole coaching staff is now at East Lansing." They're starting quarterbacks at Florida State. They're starting running back Damian Martinez is in the portal. I think he's going to end up at Miami. Their top wideouts at Texas. I mean, their whole fucking team is gone. Best defensive players are at Michigan State. So I think that, I mean, they're going to win at Reser Stadium is hard. They have great fans, but it ain't going to get more winnable than the first game against. I mean, if you're going to put Oregon State on the schedule, it's not going to get more winnable than probably this situation. Game one, week two, they get Western Oregon. Week three, they head to Grand Forks to take on North Dakota. But hey, that game looks more winnable too, based on all the offensive linemen hit the portal. I know Kevin from FCS Nation Radio, go check out their show. I was alluding to that last week that the Fighting Hawks took some big time hits on the line of scrimmage. Then week four, you're home to Southern Utah. I mean, I would favor Southern Utah, but not by much. You know what I mean? Like then week five, home to Montana State. Week six at Cal Poly. Week seven, home to Portland State. Week eight at Northern Arizona. Week nine, home to Sac State. They get a bye week, and after the bye week, they are going to Ogden. Week 11 to take on Weber State. Week 12, they're heading to Cheyenne, Washington, to take on E-Dub. And then week 13, home to the Idaho Vandals in the rivalry game there. But look, there's, you can also say this, there's no Montana on the schedule. All your non-con games, call me crazy, I think all of them are winnable. Like, okay, let's say they lose to Oregon State. I still think it ain't gonna, like, it's the perfect time to catch them, but the other ones are winnable. Yeah, they probably lose to North Dakota, but I mean, I'm not gonna say it's not winnable. So like, watch them go 1-3 in the non-con. They probably will go 1-3. Now that I think about it, but I'm trying to be optimistic here about my boy. I look, he's the only coach that I've had a cocktail with in this whole conference. So I'm trying to be optimistic. Your thoughts on the Bengals schedule heading into 2024.
You know, like you had him at 10. So I had him at 9, and I'm looking at this the second time around. And I don't know that I would necessarily move him around, but you know, it's kind of a complicated team. Like, you know, Western Oregon, okay, they should win that game, but Oregon State, North Dakota, Southern Utah, I would definitely have them as underdogs in all of those games. Southern Utah, pretty good. I think they're close to FCS playoff level talent just based off of last year. I mean, I think they lost a lot of close games and they have a lot of talent. You got Montana State on the schedule. My problem, like at the second look, I thought they had a lot of opportunity. And then the second look around, you got Cal Poly on the road. You got Northern Arizona on the road. You got Eastern Washington on the road. Those are the teams that I would kind of put like kind of close in the same category as Idaho State. I would like to see, you know, a couple of those games at home. And then Idaho, you know, the rivalry matchup, you'd like to see that. It's a rivalry game, so it is what it is. It's going to be at the end of the year. But with Idaho, like we just talked about, they're rebuilding. You'd like to see that game earlier. So second look around, I'm kind of feeling like there's a little less opportunity for this program than I thought there was when I ranked them at 9. But, you know, same as you, I like the direction Cody Hawkins has taken this team. I think he got them fighting in games a lot more than I expected last year, besides that 70-point blowout that happened against Portland State that was kind of mind-blowing. But I like the direction of this team. I think they're going to be chippy. But the schedule looks a little harder the second time around that I'm looking at it than it did initially.
I mean, you're right. You're getting some 50-50 games on the road. But to me, like, if you start out hot, I'm not even saying the Oregon State game. If you take care of Western Oregon and win in Grand Forks, maybe you get Southern Utah, maybe you don't. But I'm saying if you get at least two and two there, you're home to Montana State, that's going to be a loss. But after that, at Cal Poly, home to Portland State, at Northern Arizona, there's opportunity for some wins there.
Yeah.
I even think Sac State is a program that I'm very curious if they're going to go, like, is this a program still on the decline? You see a lot of times, you know, Troy Taylor left for Stanford. Now they beat Stanford last year to their credit. Mm-hmm. Andy Thompson did get that done, but you know, you're still with, Taylor's players. The further you distance yourself from that tenure, I wonder if they can still be as good as that. And then that game becomes winnable to me. Like, they're kind of the mystery team. Sac State, I know we got fans here in the chat for Sac State. I see 231 people watching live. Hit that like and subscribe button. But Sac State's kind of that mystery team to me, where, like, is this a team that we should expect, you know, going from what, 12 wins, 13 wins the year before to 8 last year? Should we expect 5-6 this next year? And if so, is there blood in the water and which teams could beat them? And I say, well, Cody Hawkins, their team played better than I thought they would year one. Maybe it's Idaho State. You got the bye week, week 10, week 11 at Weber. I don't expect them to win that. At Eastern Washington, they probably don't win that too, but maybe Eastern Washington. I don't know. You're right. It's hard to find wins, but damn it. They only won 3 games last year. To me, like, I would be shocked if they did not win 3 games this year. So, like, your floor is still your floor. Like, I would favor them against Western Oregon. I would favor them. I guess you're kind of right. Like, where, what game would they be favored? I think they'll be favored at Cal Poly.
Okay.
Maybe. remember when the season kicks off in August, folks, we will have spreads for every game like we do each and every season on the FCS College Football Experience. I when you look at it from that, like what games will they be favored in? There's
maybe
not many.
Portland State by that point, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, if you did that for last year's exercise, they wouldn't have been favored in many games either, and they won three.
Yeah.
So
it's, I don't know, hard to say they'd be favored against Portland State after they lost by like 70.
That's true.
Last year.
That's true. So. It's a hard sell. But the Oregon State went after the San Diego State game. You're like, hey, kept it within eight at the snapper. You know, maybe. Maybe. I'm not optimistic, but I don't know. I just think they could win three games or more this. I think they can win four or five this year. I think Western Oregon, North Dakota, Cal Poly, NAU, and maybe they upset UW. Am I being optimistic? Maybe. But hey, Merrill Hodge has been on the show. He's a former Bengal himself. I gotta pay my respects. Yeah, I had it as the third easiest, right? So yeah. I don't know. But let's talk about the Montana Grizzlies. Look at that old logo. Old logo's fire.
Sweet.
I've been to one of my, you know, Montana does college football right. They really do. I love the Brawl of the Wild. I was doing stand up years ago in Missoula. I was doing the Montana circuit. You could tell my career was phenomenal, right? I was like, oh, I get to hit Butte, Bozeman, Billings, and Missoula. But I hit Missoula. I was there, and then there happened to be a Eastern Washington, when Eastern Washington was really good. Eastern Washington, Montana game. This is probably like 2008 or 9, 7 or 8, something like that. And man, that was one of the, like, the Washington Grizzly Stadium was fucking packed. It was an awesome experience. They do college football right in the state of Montana. It's horrible because I love Montana and Montana State, which you're just not supposed to, but I just appreciate how much they care about football, and they do it right. They don't play in these filthy little domes. They are the epitome of football to me.
Tell me how many times you think Kevin Hart's selling out Butte. No chance. You got this.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up, Kevin? When I first moved to LA, I did a radio show with Kevin Hart on me and him were the guests. His career went one direction. My career went the other. He was cool though. He was cool though, man. I can't talk any shit. Yeah. He was a nice guy, but he definitely doesn't sell out, you know, Jimmy's watering hole in Butte. All right. The non-con, home to Missouri State. No road rash face. No Bobby Petrino there, unfortunately. Week two, at North Dakota. Week three, home to Morehead State. Week four, oh, my Cats are coming to Missoula. Shout out to Weehawk. I know he's a Western Carolina. He's been trying to get me to Cullowhee, North Carolina. He sent me some moonshine this past year. I love that game, by the way, because Kerwin Bell's been doing a damn good job with the Cats. Now, I know that his son, the OC, left for Pitt, and a bunch of the players left as well, but I do think that's a sneaky one. Now, I mean, they hardly ever lose in Missoula, but Bobby Hawk, you know, definitely, you know, he was on the hot seat for a little bit, and then, you know, second stint here, I think, was he in his like 15th year now as the head coach of Montana, but two stints, 129 and 36 at the helm. And obviously they played for the FCS championship a year ago. The non-con, I mean, look, I actually had this as a harder schedule than Idaho State's. The logic is this: at North Dakota, I would favor Montana, but Western Carolina is good. Like, Western Carolina could give them a game. They should be 4-0 though. And they only have five away games compared to six, but they have to go to Bozeman. And that was the conference schedule. Week five starts at UW, home to Weber, home to Northern Arizona. They get a bye week, week eight, at Northern Colorado, at Cal Poly. They have a back to back away, even though it's not a tough back to back away. Then home to UC Davis week 11, then home to Portland State week 12, then at Montana State I mean, it's an easy fucking schedule. I'm not going to bullshit you, but you got to go to Bozeman for the Brawl of the Wild. You circle that one as a potential loss. They lost Clifton McDowell. They got the Big Mac. We got the Big Mick to McNeese. Well, to Temple, then to McNeese. That guy transfers every fucking week. And I don't really see a lot of losable games. Maybe Weber could give him a game, or Western Carolina. I mean, Western Carolina is the only one that I know that could probably strike. Like, their offense could potentially give some problems. But what do you make of the schedule? Where'd you have this ranked?
Yeah, I had this one close to you. I had it at 7, but now that I'm looking at this one and I looked at Idaho State back to back, I think I would actually end up putting Idaho State above this team. Just the way, I mean, they both play North Dakota on the road. Should be an easier game for Montana, obviously.
There's no FBS.
Yeah, no FBS. Yeah. I think where the trade-off was is Idaho State had the D2, the Western Oregon.
Yeah.
So there is that.
But Morehead State is pretty much
exactly
pretty much a fucking D2 school.
So, I mean, your toughest draw there in that non-con, I mean, you got to say it's either North Dakota, who lost a ton of players, or Western Carolina, who also lost some talent, but plus you get them in Missoula. So, and then looking at the rest, you get Weber State at home. You get Montana State on the road. That sucks. But I think I might actually bump Idaho State up above this schedule, because it looks pretty favorable to me. I'm circling Montana State. I think that's a loss. And then I'm going to go ahead and call the upset of Eastern Washington over the Montana Grizzlies. I think they're going to catch them napping a little bit before that Weber State game. Let's go. But this schedule, not too bad. I think you're more accurate at 9 than I was at 7.
Well, they don't play Idaho.
Mm-mm.
Who's the second team they're missing here? Sac State. They don't have Sac State. They don't have Idaho. You gotta like that. Those are two. I mean, I know I don't know what to expect of Sac State this year, but I mean, you kind of gotta like the schedule. You know, I think getting Northern Colorado, getting Cal Poly. Those are ones you want on the schedule. Now, maybe those teams are better. Even Northern Arizona, I think you want that on the schedule, even though I know they lost to him last year. Didn't they lose to him last year? Was it last year or 2 years ago? No, they lost
last year. I think it was last year. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's they should be a shoe-in for the FCS playoffs yet again.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I had it ranked at 9th, but I'm like, as I'm doing it too, I'm like, should I put it at 11th? I mean, they play the least amount of away games out of any school and in the Big Sky, and then they don't have an FBS. Anyway, let's talk about their arch rivals, the Montana State Bobcats. Their old logo is fire. See that they do play an FBS, but they play them at the perfect time. Montana State, Brent Vegan. It's a big year for him. I mean, look, I think he's done a great job. But 32-9, and he's coming off his worst season though at 8-4. Can he rebound? The non-con at New Mexico and Bronco Mendenhall's first game though. So if you're going to catch him, that's when you want to catch him, because I think Mendenhall's a great coach, and getting him early and just getting him early this year in year one is where you want to. Week two, they head to St. George to Zion National Park to take on Utah Tech. Should win that. Home to Maine. Maine for a while was rolling. That was one of my favorite schools to root for. Remember, they went down to Mississippi State and beat them in Starkville, but Maine's not nearly as good as they once were. That should be an easy blowout win. And then home to Stephen F. Austin. Larry Centers ain't walking through that door, but I feel like that might be their hardest test out of all four of them. If I had it.
New Mexico?
I just feel like game one, Mendenhall took over UVA. First year, they were ass.
Yeah, they lost to FCS, didn't they?
I think Richmond got him. Yeah. So I kind of think Stephen F. Austin might be the hardest game out of those four. I don't know, though, because the portal plays so much. See, when Mendenhall first took over Virginia, I mean, the portal was starting to become a thing, but it wasn't. Now you can really, like I said, you can really change your roster fast. So maybe that game will be harder than I think. But I mean, I think they're going to probably go 4-0 in the non-con. Am I crazy to think that?
3-1's worst case scenario, but no, I think 4-0 is extremely likely.
I had this as the easiest schedule in the Big Sky.
So did I.
Okay. So at least because we did this without talking, folks. Week four, they get a bye week after the non-con. Then they head to Pocatello to take on Cody Hawkins and the Bengals. Week six, home to Northern Colorado. Week seven, home to Idaho. Week eight at Portland State. There is a back-to-back away here at week 10 at, and they have a bye. That's the second bye because they play a week zero game. They don't have a back-to-back away. It's on there because of their week zero game. So week eight at Portland State, week nine bye, week 10 at Eastern Washington. Then week 11 home to Sac State, week 12 at UC Davis, week 13 at Montana. The only tricky spot is that UC Davis game to me. Mm-hmm. Right before the Brawl of the Wild. But man, they should be favored against Montana and Bozeman. Besides that, where's the loss? Maybe Davis, maybe Portland State.
Yeah, the Davis one is the one I would circle as far as like in conference. I mean, sandwich spot right between Sac State and Montana, but you got to love Montana, Sac State, even, Idaho, if we're assuming they're going to be good. They're all at home. You got to love that. Eastern Washington, even, we talked about how tricky it could be to take that trip. Well, that's a home game too for Montana State. So, I mean, this schedule, there's nothing to not like about it. The non-con, super manageable. I would, if I had to forecast them, 11-1 is kind of my worst case scenario. Maybe a 10-2 if you talk me into a tricky spot against
like New Mexico,
maybe, New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico and somehow Montana beats them in the rivalry game. Not somehow. I mean, it's a fucking crazy rivalry. So, I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but 9-3 would shock me. It's going to be fascinating. I had that as the easiest schedule too. I don't know. It'll be fascinating to watch, folks. Next up, let's jump to the Lumberjacks. This is I've been to the walk-up Sky Dome bullshit that they should. I know it just did really well in College Football Campus Tours rankings. The fans voted the walk-up Sky Dome better than Franklin Field at Penn, which I just find ridiculous. But they should play outdoors because Flagstaff's awesome. It's perfect for football. The weather is perfect. But no, they play at this ridiculous stadium. But Brian Wright, I am intrigued about the new head coach coming over from Pittsburgh State, where he did a great job at Pittsburgh State. The non-con, you get Lincoln, California, my favorite school that doesn't even have a home stadium. They just live life on the road like they're the fucking Rolling Stones, right? Then at Arizona, see, this is the tricky part here, is three sets of back-to-back away games. So this is a triple back-to-back spot at Arizona, which they beat Arizona a few years back. Brent Brennan taking over. My guy, Noah Fafita. Shout out to Noah Fafita. Great guy. They're going to be pretty good, I think, Arizona. Then they head to St. George, Utah, to take on Utah Tech week three. And then at Incarnate Word, I'll be honest. I think they lose all three road games. And they beat Lincoln in Flagstaff. But then week five, they're home to Sac State. And I think that's a huge one that you want to circle. If you want to have a successful season, that's one. That's one you got to circle. Then week six, this is brutal to me. I had this as the second hardest schedule because you're already at Arizona. I know at Utah Tech's not like daunting, but at Incarnate Word, I think it is tough. But then you got your second back-to-back away week six and week seven here at Idaho, followed by at Montana. You're getting, Washington Grizzly Stadium on the second end of a back-to-back away. Brutal. Then you're home to Idaho State. You get a much needed bye week. Then you're home to Weber. Then you're at Cal Poly, followed by at Northern Colorado. But as a dome team, you got to go to Greeley. I've been to that stadium. Hey, that's a tricky game. And then you're home to Eastern Washington to end your season. I think you can argue that this is the hardest schedule, and it is going to be fun to watch Brian Wright. Cause I think it was a good hire. I think it was a hire that was outside the box that makes a lot of sense, but I think he's got his work cut out from year one. Seven away games. Why? I don't know. But your thoughts?
Well, I also love the coaching hire. I think that was a really good hire and outside the box, like you said. Yeah, this is a tough schedule, man. I mean, I think you could sneak out of that non-con at 2-2. Utah Tech, kind of an enigma. Like, they played just about as poorly record-wise as I thought they would last year. But as far as, like, on-field performance, I think they were a little better than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing about – so I have them about five. I like that they miss they miss Montana State. So that's like one of the big things I could say about them that's good. But once you get out of that non-con and you go Sac State, Idaho, Montana, that's a brutal stretch. You got to like getting Idaho State at home. You got to like, you know, maybe getting that bye before the Weber State game, I think could give them a competitive edge there at least a little bit. Because I think, you know, Weber State, obviously a little step back last year after the coaching changes that they had. And then you have a little winnable stretch here to end the season that I thought was pretty nice. So you get the bye, you get Weber State. Maybe you could pull that off. I doubt it. They're not going to be favored. But then Cal Poly, Northern Colorado, Eastern Washington, despite the fact that that's a back-to-back away with Cal Poly and Northern Colorado, I think you could win both of those games. And then Eastern Washington at home, I think, is also winnable as well. This was kind of my cutoff as far as like the last schedule that I thought was like clear cut above the rest. It is a very, very hard schedule, but I think I docked them a little bit for having Lincoln, you know, having the D2, having Lincoln, California on the schedule. And I thought Utah Tech, that's a game that I do expect them to be ahead of them, even with the coaching change.
Utah Tech one, they're having a coaching change too. That's what's interesting is Lance Anderson coming over from Boise State, but I like what they did in the portal. They brought in a quarterback from Syracuse, McPhail. That's going to be a fascinating game week three, as far as for both those programs. Because I think it's a 50-50 game. We'll see. But yeah, where'd you have this ranked?
I had it at number five, but I had it. It was like in my, these five schedules are tougher than the rest by far. So yeah, They're right on that. I do think this is a tough schedule.
Yeah, I think it's got its challenges here. Let's jump over and talk about those Bears in Northern Colorado, which I had ranked at number four. The non-con, good luck. Look, Ed Lamb's a good coach. He's a good coach. Honestly, if you look at what he did at Southern Utah, I thought he did a great job at Southern Utah. Probably, I don't understand why it didn't work out there, but they were winless last year. So, I mean, hard to build optimism when you're going into year two and your first four non-con games are at Incarnate Word, followed by at Colorado State, followed by home to Abilene Christian, then at Stephen F. Austin. So you're playing every school in fucking Texas and Colorado State, who's right down the road there in Fort Collins. They're going to be 0-4 in the non-con. Maybe they upset Abilene and Greeley. I don't think so though. I just think that they're going to be 0-4. What do you think?
No, same. I thought this this non-con was pretty brutal. So I had the, I also had this team as the fourth ranked schedule, and that's kind of why I had it one above Northern Arizona. Is this non-con? It's hard to see them doing anything other than going 0-4. I mean, whereas, you know, Northern Arizona, you had Lincoln, and you had maybe Utah Tech they can roll with. You said Abilene's the only team. Like maybe they get lucky, but I don't see it happening.
I don't see it either. I don't see it. Now, I will say this. Week five, I think they can beat Cal Poly and Greeley. I think that's a winnable game. And I think they got to circle that by saying brand new season, Big Sky Conference play starts. But then after that, you have a back-to-back away. You're their second of the season at Montana State, followed by at Weber. Good luck. 0-2. Then you get a bye week. Much needed bye week, though, because you do have the Montana Grizzlies on deck. But then followed by, and Montana's coming to Greeley. Then you head to Davis, California to take on UC Davis, and you're home to E-Dub and home to Northern Arizona. And the season finale is in Hillsboro, Oregon at Portland State. I think they could win three or four games though. Give me Cal Poly is a winnable game. Like I think for you to have a great season, not a great season, but an encouraging season, you get Cal Poly, you get Northern Arizona. You got to win those two. I'm going to throw Eastern Washington there. You go three and eight. I think you're happy based on this fucking non-con. What do you think?
I think it's a brutal schedule. I think 3 wins is the ceiling to me.
And I think you got to be feeling good if you're a Northern Colorado fan and you snag three wins. I think you have to feel optimistic about that moving into 2025, because another thing I held for this team. So you got five of your first seven games on the road, which is the same thing Northern Arizona had going on, but you snagged both Montana State and Montana. So both the Montana schools, that sucks.
And
Weber State on the road. Yeah, that's brutal. Your bye week, you might as well chalk that up. That's wasted. You know,
want Idaho State on that schedule and you didn't get them. Yeah.
So yeah, this one's brutal to me, man. Three is my absolute ceiling. I think they're going to be lucky to get two.
I think he's a good football coach though, man. But you know, we're at this point where like, I feel like we're seeing regression from Idaho based on the portal, even though I kind of trust their coach and their program. Weber's kind of a mystery team because, you know, they Mickey Mantle coming in and, you know, he had a winning season in year one, but they used to be kind of a one of the powers. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're on that power level now in this conference. I think it's just strictly Montana, Montana State. Sac State to me, I think, is on the decline. If I had to guess, Portland State's kind of a mystery team. Eastern Washington seems to be on the decline over the past 2 years. So it's like, it's ready for someone to step up and steal some wins here. Out of all those programs, whether it's Northern Arizona, whether it's Northern Colorado, whether it's Idaho State, whether it's Cal Poly, I think one school can capitalize there. There's some wins out there that I think it's not as automatic as it was 2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, where you just knew there's like no way. I'm like, well, I think there's some vulnerability in some of the schools that have been some of the better schools of late, minus Montana and Montana State. Anyway, let's jump on over and talk about the Portland State Vikings, a coach, hopefully still buying beers for everybody. I'm referring to Bruce Barnum. Great job. This is what I love about FCS. He's entering year 10 and I love Bruce Barnum, by the way. I'm not advocating for him to be fired, but he hasn't had a winning season since his first season.
It ain't going to get any better.
I think the team's not that bad, but they got to do themselves some fucking favors. And I know Sam Herter just did an article about this too. I think shout out to Sam. We've had him on the show before a while back. And, what are they doing to themselves here? I know they need money, but you know,
no one needs money this bad, man.
That's what I'm saying, man. This is a proud program back in the day with Miles Davis, and June Jones, and Neil Lomax. What happened to those days? Get back into Oregon does college football right with Oregon and Oregon State. Mm-hmm. Fuck's going on here. The non-con is at Washington State. Pullman Stadium. I mean, it's not like Oregon State. They retained Jake Dickert. Now they did lose Cam Ward, but they brought in Zivi Ekos from was it Bryant?
Bryant,
yeah. Yep. Followed by at Washington State, followed by at Weber week two, early conference game week two. Then home to South Dakota, who was phenomenal a year ago, and they seem to be loaded and ready for another run. Then at Boise State, then at Chattanooga. What the fuck are you guys doing? Chattanooga's going to be good. They're going to be 0-5. They're going to be 0-5. That's ridiculous. He's going to get fired. He's going to get fired because I don't feel like the team's that bad, but that's a ridiculous beginning to your schedule. Week 6, home to UC Davis. Week 7, heading to Pocatello to take on Idaho State. They got to win those. That's the one thing. Through the first 5 games, even if they lose at Weber, man, they might be able to get Weber, but if they lose at Weber, then you're 0-1 in conference. So I think it's essential that they beat UC Davis week 6 and Idaho State week 7. Because they're probably going to lose in week 8 when Montana State comes to Hillsboro. Then they get a bye week. They head to Sac State. They're home to Idaho. They're at Montana and they're home to Northern Colorado. What's the best case scenario here? Best case scenario is you got to beat Weber week 2. If you beat Weber week 2, then maybe you only lose to the Montanas. It's going to be a brutal year. It's going to be I think the team is not that bad when you look at the roster, but I had it as the third hardest schedule. Where'd you have this ranked?
Dude, I had this number one. So you got two FBS schools, and not just two FBS, but you got a Power Five and, you know, classically one of the best G5s going in all of FBS football with Boise State. Both those games, obviously, on the road, both those games losses. The early conference draw of Weber State on the road, that sucks. You got five FCS playoff teams from 2023 last year on the schedule, so that sucks. South Dakota, that's a terrible draw to be in there because, like you said, great year last year. Chattanooga, FCS playoff team last year, great year. So you're going to start off 0-5 with a coach that's on a short leash. I think there's a good chance he might get canned. I know FCS, the leash is usually a little longer, but, I mean, he's running out of lives for that cat. So you draw Montana and Montana State. Again, that sucks. You got Sac State on the road. I mean, you know, by the time you get to that winnable home game against Northern Colorado, things might be way off the rails by then, so you don't know what to really make of that game. Idaho State, we already talked about it. You know, they beat them by like 70 last year, but I mean, once you start off a season probably 0-6, maybe you fire your coach. Is that Idaho State game on the road? Is that still a game you're favored in? I don't even know. This is, to me, this was the hardest schedule, and I don't see great things. Listen, I'm 63% Scandinavian. I got a Viking tattoo. I got a rune. But I don't know that I can get behind these boys, man. This is rough.
It is rough. And look, I don't know. I just think it's tough. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the roster's that bad. I think they just shoot themselves to the foot from the start. Yeah, I had it as third. I think it's brutal. I think you make the argument it's the hardest. I think you can. You certainly can make the argument that it's the hardest. And, you know, you have a lot of valid points there with how many FCS playoff teams and how many, you know, Washington State and Boise. Good luck winning at those places. Good luck. They got, I'm saying, they got that Weber game is so fucking huge week two. It's so huge. They got to win that game. They got to win that. That's like a must win game to me. If they want to have a successful season, let's jump over and talk about the Sacramento State Hornets. Grills is asking, he's like, what the fuck? Where are my Hornets at? Sac State. This is, I think, the hardest team to understand heading into the season, because who are they? Or this is it. Like I just said, I laid it out 5 minutes ago and said, are they a team that we should expect to get worse, or are they going to bounce back? I kind of think I expect them to be a little bit worse. The non-con though, love college football is about regionality. No matter what any fucking TV exec wants to tell you, love at San Jose State and Ken Niumatalolo's first game, followed by at Fresno. Love those games on the schedule, but I think they're going to be 0-2. But San Jose State game is interesting because Niumatalolo is going with the run and shoot, which he is not familiar with historically from his days at Navy and Georgia Southern. So, maybe there's some vulnerability there. Week three, they're home to the Colonels of Nichols, which, you know, a few years ago, they were lighting it up with Lindsey Scott. Then week four at Texas A&M Commerce. I have that one circled as a very interesting game. They have three sets of back-to-back away games, by the way. The first two, obviously San Jose State and Fresno State, the second at Commerce, Texas A&M Commerce, followed by at Northern Arizona. I think they'll be favored at NAU. They get a bye week, week six. They're home to Eastern Washington, week seven, home to Weber, week eight. Then they head to Pocatello, week nine. Then they're home to Portland State, week 10, followed by at Montana State and at Cal Poly, home to UC Davis to end the season. I like getting the two California schools to start and the two California conference schools to end the season. I had it as the fifth hardest schedule, mainly because I think they could lose that Commerce game. And when you look at that, you're like, okay, what games will they be favored in? Like, to me, like San Jose State, Fresno State will be favored. I think Commerce could be favored. I don't think Commerce will be favored, but I think Commerce could win the game.
Yeah.
The Eastern Washington Weber games are very tricky to me. Now, they don't play Montana or Idaho, which you got to like. But still, I still feel like you got to go to Bozeman. I don't know. Where'd you have this ranked?
I had this at number 3. I obviously the San Jose State, Fresno, that's a rough start to the season. You're probably starting out 0-2. Nichols, they're going to win that game, and that's obviously they should win that game. However, I mean, Nichols, that's an FCS playoff team from last year, so you're going to get a little bit of credit there. And then you do have that tricky trip to A&M Commerce, but like you said, 3 back-to-back road trips, you never like to see that on a schedule. You have to go play at Bozeman against Montana State and then follow that game up with a trip to at Cal Poly. Maybe you'd like to see that one at home. That's a back-to-back that I think they should navigate, go 1-1. But I mean, you don't like to see that Cal Poly game following up Montana State and being another road game. And Davis, you'd like to see them earlier in the schedule with a new head coach and a new look team. So I think this is a tough schedule. That being said, depending on what Sacramento State rolls out, because like you said, they're kind of an enigma. It's hard to tell what's going to come of this team, but I wouldn't be surprised if they started out 3-1. Like you said, the San Jose State game, there's an opportunity there. And this is a team that went and beat Stanford last year. So beating San Jose State, that's not outrageous. Nichols, yeah. That's an FCS playoff team that's from a year ago that you could beat. And then A&M Commerce, I mean, that's a tricky spot, but they should win the game. So this is a tough schedule, but one that I think they can navigate. And I kind of expect if they roll out another good program, they should make the FCS playoffs.
There we go. Gulf Coast Guru telling you, get that Sac State future to the FCS playoffs. Let's go. Let's talk about these Aggies of UC Davis with Tim Plow taking over there. All right, this is 7th hardest, but mainly because the end of the season. But out the gate week 1, they're at Cal. Just watched their spring game earlier. I think they'll lose that game. Then home to Commerce, Texas A&M Commerce. I'm going to circle these Commerce games because I feel like Commerce could be better than people know or think. Week 3, they head to Cedar City to take on the Thunderbirds of Southern Utah. See, this game was kind of wild last year. I think they played in Davis. I watched that game. Who do you favor in that game? You favor Utah, Southern Utah?
I think I favor Southern Utah, man. I'm a Thunderbirds fan, and I like what that program's been doing. I think they were a few close weight losses away last year from being an FCS playoff team. I think there's potential in that program. I think that's a loss for Davis.
Yeah, and then you're home to Utah Tech, home to Idaho. I think both are actually winnable for Davis there. Mm-hmm. At Portland State, 50-50 to me. Home to Cal Poly. I mean, there's opportunity here. Let me build you a scenario here. If memory serves me correct, that Southern Utah game was a very close game from a year ago. Mm-hmm. Let's say they come out the gates, they lose to Cal, but they beat Commerce. They beat Southern Utah. They beat Utah Tech. I mean, if you're 3-1 and you're hosting Idaho, and Idaho's going through a gauntlet and you know, they've played what I have is the hardest schedule. I think that becomes much more winnable because of just the fact they're playing tough team every single week. Is there a chance that you could be 4-1 heading into Hillsboro to take on Portland State?
There's a chance. I mean, I see, let's say a 5-6-6-2 start to the season. You know, I think is very possible. I think like you said, the tail end of this schedule is where it gets really messy. That's what you don't like to see, but at least they have the bye going into it.
Yeah. So after the road game at Portland State week 6, they're home to Cal Poly, then at Eastern Washington, then that bye week you just alluded to, then home to Northern Colorado. They're going to need that one. That's like a must win because after that you're at Montana, home to Montana State, at Sac State. You're probably going to lose all three. You'll probably be a dog in all three of your final games. So, but momentum can be a real thing in football. So maybe if they're hot, that's why I think those games against Commerce and Southern Utah and Idaho are so huge.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and Portland State even too. I think those games are gigantic.
Where'd you have this ranked?
I had it at 6, so one spot above you.
Okay. Yeah, it should be fun. All right, final team here. That is the Weber State Wildcats. Mickey Mantle. Hopefully he's getting blowjobs from girls underneath the bleachers like Mickey Mantle was. Did a deep dive on that story. He would get he would get special treatment underneath the stands. Yankee Stadium.
61, man.
That's what I'm saying. Yankee Stadium, Mickey Mantle. Maybe you're doing the same there in Ogden. If not, something's wrong. You can have seven wives too. Fuck exactly. It. Let's go.
Dry County, man. You got to be doing something.
Not dry when it comes to pussy. But anyway.
I've heard that. Yeah. It's their state motto.
Yeah, it's on the license plate, right? Week one, they are heading to Seattle to take on Washington. Hey, you know what, man? We saw Montana win at Washington like, what, 2-3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Game that got Jimmy Lake fired, essentially. You got Jed Fish coming in, but the whole team is gone. Like, from graduation and transferred to Bama. And everywhere else. Come on, Weber. Let's represent for the Big Sky. Let's go get one. Whooped Utah State's ass the other year. Why can't you knock off this new Big Ten bullshit team in the Washington Huskies? Let's go. Week two, they're home to Portland State. Conference game. It's a big one. These early conference games are always big. Week three, they're heading to Beaumont, Texas, take on Lamar. Week four, they're heading to Natchitoches, Louisiana. Take on Northwestern State. Week five, they're taking on a winless McNeese team from a year ago. So you got to love. Why did I have this ranked six, actually? I think they should have been further back.
I got them 11, man.
Okay. Yeah, I think I fucked this one up. But look, my logic was this. I think the conference games, going to Missoula, going to Sac State, two FCS playoff teams, going to Idaho, three FCS playoff teams. That was my logic. And then you add in the team that played for the national championship last year in the FBS. And that's what I'm building. Now, at the same time, I understand, like, I think they should be favored against Lamar, Northwestern State, McNeese at 3, Northern Colorado 4, Idaho State 5, Cal Poly 6. So they, out the gate, if they beat Portland State, that would be 7. They'd be favored. They should be favored in 7 games, which is knocking on the door of the FCS playoffs. Talk to me about what you think of the schedule.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I got an 11. I think there's a lot of opportunity here. So, you know, go ahead, chalk up the Washington one. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of potential in that one. Obviously, a ton of new faces at Washington. If you're going to catch them week one, great week to do it. Weber State, they've risen to challenges like this before. They play teams. I mean, they gave Utah a game, what, 1-2 years ago?
They beat the shit out of Utah State in Logan, like 35-7 or something. Couple years ago. Yeah,
this is a team that can fight, man. So Portland State, I'd favor them there. Lamar, Northwestern State back to back, sure, but they are leagues ahead of both of them and McNeese, even with Mr. McDowell heading out there. So yeah, they're favored what, 4 of their first 5 games. Montana, sure, a loss, but Northern Colorado, that should be a win. Sac State, that's a 50-50 game to me. You got the bye week. Northern Arizona, they should be favored. Idaho State, they should be favored. Idaho catching them late, okay, it's tricky, but looking at it right now, Weber State maybe the better team just on returning talent, what we know about them, and then Cal Poly should be a win. So I think this is an FCS playoff team with this schedule. I think it's very, very favorable. I got it at number 11, and I think this team can make some noise this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's year two. I just feel like if you go back and look too, like they let a couple teams off the hook a year ago, so. I mean, it's been a really good program. They haven't had a losing season since 2014. So, and really when you look at it since like 2008, they've only had what, like three losing seasons, I believe. So, shout out to Jeff Sharp in the chat. He goes, I love the passion. He says, I love the passion you guys have for football. You don't say JV football, but hey, you know, FCS D1 is D1. If it wasn't Bettiville, could care less out of regional area. But he wants to know, like, guessing W's over L's. Well, I think you can. You got, if you watch it every week, I think, you know, I think I know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part, you know, obviously you're never going to know every single outcome, but Weber State, like I just said, they've been a great program for a long time. Same as Montana. Montana State's been great lately. Eastern Washington's been good. If you know it over the years, I mean, I've been watching FCS football since the 90s, the early 90s. So,
There's no guessing here on the FCS college.
Yeah. I would encourage you to check it out, man. If anything, if you love college football, I actually think this is the heart of college football is right here. I like, you're seeing the FBS, especially the P4 or P5, whatever you want to say, kind of turn into like NFL. It's kind of like they just added a fucking 2-minute warning. The mm-hmm. fuck out of here. The fuck, some more commercials. Oh, perfect. Right. Yes, but he is talking about Deacon Hill, who's in the portal, the legend of Deacon Hill. I like to say he's the hefty lefty 2.0, right? Jared, rest in peace to the great Jared Lorenzen.
May he rest in peace.
Yes. Folks, that's our show. That's our show. And we'll be back next week. We're going to be breaking down the CAA. What do you want to do, CAA or SoCon first? I kind of like the SoCon more than that. Let's do SoCon. The CAA used to be much more powerful to me. I kind of feel like the SoCon's better than the CAA now these days. So, let's do the SoCon next week. So check out the FCS College Football Experience. Hit that subscribe, hit that like. Make sure you give Mike a follow here, the Gulf Coast Guru at GCG_wins on Twitter. And if you're out, you know, powerboating, make sure send him a DM, ask for some fucking directions to, you know, the cocktail lounge where you hang out and have a few beverages. And check out all Mike's work. He does great stuff. He did a few articles over there, Sports Gambling Podcast too, or sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Check all that stuff out. We got I got college baseball on right now. Subscribe to the College Baseball Experience. We got the College Basketball Experience. So it goes live every single night of the college basketball season and talks college hoops all throughout the off season. I host the FBS show, the College Football Experience. Check that out. We've already gone through, you know, every team schedule pretty much. And we're going to go through every single team. We preview all 134 teams on the FBS front. Just like when the off season comes, or when I say the off season comes, when the summer months come, me and Gulf Coast Guru here, Mike Rose, will be going through every team, projecting our order for the FCS for every conference as well. We give the same amount of love to the Pioneer League as we do the Big Sky or Missouri Valley. Just like on the FBS show, we give the Conference USA and Sun Belt the same amount of love as the SEC. So check us all out. Check out the Sports Gambling Podcast as well for NFL Draft. I'm on Twitter at TheColbyD. Until next time, folks, this is the College Football Experience, FCS style. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.